Connected to Christ, Witnessing in Everyday Life is the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June. It's written by Dr. Mark Wood, Director of Witness and Outreach for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Learn more about Connected to Christ at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, Connected to Christ, Witnessing in Everyday Life, issuesetc.org or 1-800-325-3040.
Basic biology we used to teach our children, when that is corrupted, then we should not be surprised if we have some very horrific consequences.
What's happening here with the race issue is really nothing different than what's happened with other issues with Marxism. They're just simply using, I think, racism as the wedge to get it into society, because it is a touchy issue.
When religion declines, we by nature are religious creatures, and we will find other things to fill that void.
When you understand the means of grace, we know where to find God. We know where to hear God. We know how to talk to God. Or more importantly, we know how God could talk to us.
College students graduating during COVID-19, love issues, etc.
There was a mighty wind that was so strong it shattered rocks. There was an earthquake that also shatters rocks. There was a fire. It swept across the face of the mountain. There's Elijah the prophet cowering inside a cave. And then after the fire, there was a gentle whisper, a low whisper. And it was in this sound, as low as it was, that the Lord came and spoke to Elijah. The Lord always comes by his word. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Friday afternoon, June the 11th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Our series, Through the Old Testament in a Church Year, is continuing today. We'll talk about Elijah and that low whisper. Dr. Ken Sherb will be our guest. We'll discuss Christianity, critical theory, and the social justice movement with Dr. Lucas Woodford, president of the Minnesota South District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Then, since it's Friday, we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We have our four soundbites ready to play for you. You can listen in advance at our website, issuesetc.org, and vote in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Also vote in advance using our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and our Twitter address at issuesetc. Or you can wait and vote when we play Soundbite of the Week, 1-877-623-6943. Joining us for our series, Through the Old Testament in a Church Year, today, Elijah and the Low Whisper, Dr. Ken Sherb. He has a PhD in church history from Ohio State University. He's director of evangelism and missions, stewardship, and human care for the Central Illinois District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, formerly served as a theology professor at Concordia University, Ann Arbor, Michigan, and is an assistant to the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of a series of sermons titled The Old Testament Collection, Preaching Christ in the Old Testament During the Church Year. Ken, welcome back.
I was tempted to answer you in a low whisper here, but I won't do that to your producer there, Todd.
If you would, remind us what we talked about last time.
Last time we were talking about that smashing victory won by the Lord at the time of the prophet Elijah in a big showdown at Mount Carmel. King Ahab, the son of King Omri, the king of the northern kingdom, husband of Jezebel, son-in-law of King Ethbaal of the Sidonians, had arranged this big occasion at the request of Elijah. And this was after 3 years of drought imposed by the Lord. Now, the false god, Baal, was supposed to be a fertility god, but he was powerless to bring rain, or to contradict the Lord God of Israel, who had announced through his spokesman Elijah that there was going to be no rain until further notice. Well, in the event, two bulls were prepared as sacrifices on two different altars, and the deity that brought fire for a burnt offering to burn up one of those animals would be recognized as the true God. So the prophets of Baal took the entire morning and on into the afternoon begging their God to hear their pleas, and nothing happened. By contrast, Elijah prayed just a short prayer, and the Lord God sent fire from heaven and it consumed not only the bull, but also the altar and even some excess water. The Lord is God, the people saw and the people said. But even before that point, Elijah, in a number of ways, had been reminding the people of Israel about the grace of God, the same grace that the Lord had shown to their forefather, Jacob, the tricky tripper whom he made into Israel. The Lord turns hearts. See, not only is it true that this God is the true Lord, but he also wanted to be their Lord, even after their dalliance, and it was much more than a dalliance, with idolatry.
So what went on in Old Testament history between that and what we have before us today?
Well, Elijah told King Ahab that the Lord was about to break that drought and bring rain. And Elijah told his servant to go up and look out into the distance west into the Mediterranean from Mount Carmel and look for signs of rain. 6 times the servant looked, he saw nothing. The 7th time he saw just a little cloud rising out of the sea. "That's it," Elijah said, and before you knew it, a great rain came just as the Lord had said. All in all, Mount Carmel marked the scene of a great and stunning victory for the Lord, total vindication for Elijah, and a great demonstration of God's identity for Israel. And yet, Mount Carmel had not resulted in what you might call a total victory. I mean, you would think that after such a great contest, everyone would have ended up confessing that the Lord is God, but not so. We can even go so far as to think that maybe King Ahab would have gone back and told his wife Jezebel to put away those idols, the idols with which he had grown up. But that didn't happen either. On the contrary, Jezebel took it upon herself to issue a death threat against the Lord's prophet Elijah, and Elijah ran.
Why did he run?
Well, he was not running simply to get away from Jezebel's sword. First, Elijah went to the southernmost part of the southern kingdom of Israel. He went to Beersheba. But then he kept on going, even from that relatively safe place. He traveled a day's journey into the wilderness. And again, fear does not seem to be his main motive, because now out in the wilderness, far from Jezebel, far from her agents, all by himself, Elijah plunks down and begs the Lord to take his life. And this guy wanted to die. It wasn't so much that his courage had been melted by the threats of his enemies, but instead it was far more that his spirit had been, as it were, broken by the impenitence of people. I mean, face it, Todd, Elijah had tried and tried to do his work in the service of the Lord. And the effect that God brought about through Elijah, like at Mount Carmel, had been striking to the extreme. But now, he saw that a determined rejection of the Lord still remained afoot in the land. So Elijah grew disappointed and severely disillusioned. You might say he was undergoing a severe case of spiritual burnout. And that kind of thing occurs, Todd, even in the aftermath of what people today might call spiritual mountaintop experiences. I mean, I've seen this happen quite a number of times over the years, that one of those moments when Christians feel especially close to God can be followed by severe times of testing in their lives. Well, in this case, with Elijah, the angel of the Lord provided him food and drink in the wilderness and told this burned-out prophet to keep on heading south. Elijah may have thought that he had gone out into the middle of nowhere just to die, but the Lord still had plans for him. So over the next 40 days, Elijah kept making his way south some 200 miles all the way down to Mount Sinai. And this, of course, was the mountain where the Lord had revealed himself to Israel after the Exodus from Egypt. This was the place where he gave the Ten Commandments. The Lord guided Elijah to a particular cave on the mountain, quite probably the very place where he had put Moses, in the cleft of a rock. At that time, he had shown Moses his back, for no one could look upon the Lord's face and live. God let all his goodness pass before Moses at that time, at that cave, as he proclaimed his name and his undeserved love. And now the Lord was showing that he was not finished with Elijah any more than he had been finished with Moses and the children of Israel there on Mount Sinai.
Here is the account from 1 Kings 19. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets by the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And he said, "Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind tore the mountain and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi you shall anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha the son of Shaphat and Ebal-Mehola you shall anoint to be the prophet in your place. And the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael shall Jehu put to death, and the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha put to death. Yet I leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." What's happening here, Ken?
Well, this is interesting. Twice the Lord asks Elijah, "What are you doing?" And both times Elijah answers with this litany of complaints about Israel forsaking the Lord's covenant and throwing down his altars and killing his prophets. And Elijah adds, "Now I'm the only one left, and they're coming after me." Well, you can imagine the kinds of questions that Elijah might have been asking himself for the past 40 days while he was on his way out to the mountain, and more. Things like, "Where did I go wrong? What more could I have done? How do I put the pieces together after all of this? In what way can I meet the huge challenge of unbelief?" Elijah got to the point where he just wanted to pack it all in and die. He found it very hard to imagine that the Lord would have any more use for him in this desperately wicked situation. And even if the Lord did have a role for Elijah still to play, he no longer wanted to play it. Now, Todd, you and I and our listeners have all experienced various situations where we have extended ourselves greatly above and beyond the call of duty, maybe, only to end up disappointed. Maybe we did everything that we could, seemingly to little or no avail. And then, after a while, we get an opportunity to look back after disengaging. And what do we see? And we have to admit that we did not completely trust the Lord all through that to take care of things. And our trust in the Lord's care for the future may have been running at a pretty low ebb, too. See, we can understand Elijah at least a little bit.
Dr. Ken Sherb is our guest. It's our weekly series, Through the Old Testament in a Church Year. We're talking about Elijah and the low whisper. What did the Lord do with Elijah next? We'll find out after this. Connected to Christ, Witnessing in Everyday Life is the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June. It's written by Dr. Mark Wood, Director of Witness and Outreach for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Learn more about Connected to Christ at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, Connected to Christ, Witnessing in Everyday Life. issuesetc.org or 1-800-325-3040.
This is a message for pastors and lay leaders of Missouri Synod congregations. As we're now rounding a corner on a year of COVID lockdown and measures, how has that affected your attendance and giving? In 25% of our churches, giving has actually gone up. Surprised? Why are some churches struggling while others are thriving? Here at LCMS Stewardship and the whole Office of National Mission team, we have answers and we have help for you and your church today. LCMS.org/stewardship.
Sanctifying your yard work with the Word of God. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
At Zion Lutheran Church, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, we've adopted the motto, A Changeless Christ for a Changing World. While many congregations try to market a message that appeals to what a changing world wants, we continue to give a constantly changing world what it needs. A changeless Christ in word and sacraments like the church has done for 2,000 years. If you're in Chippewa Falls and would like to have the forgiveness of sins, eternal life, and salvation that Jesus won on the cross and delivers today in His church, please join us poor, miserable sinners. For more information, visit cfzionlutheran.com.
Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas is now enrolling for the coming school year. What makes us unique? A confessional Lutheran school offering a classical education for preschool through the 12th grades. Faith Lutheran School features rigorous classes that incorporate a focus on wisdom, truth, virtue, and the historic Christian faith. Live online classes are also available for high school students worldwide. To learn more about Faith Lutheran School or to submit an application, visit flsplano.org. That's flsplano.org.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about Elijah and the Low Whisper with Dr. Ken Sherb. He's author of a series of sermons titled The Old Testament Collection, Preaching Christ in the Old Testament during the church year. You have been given a tremendous privilege. God has called you to be His witness and to join Him in His mission to seek and save the lost. In calling you to be His witness, Jesus is also calling you to share His joy. Rejoice with me is His invitation to all who answer His call to bring the good news to those who are lost. A little bit from the Issues, Etc. book of the month for June, Connected to Christ, Witnessing in Everyday Life. You'll find this book at our website, issuesetc.org. It's on every page. Or call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours and ask for Connected to Christ, Witnessing in Everyday Life. 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. The Issues, Etc. book of the month for June. Ken, what did the Lord do with Elijah next?
Well, He took this dejected prophet and told him to go out and stand on the mountain. And there the Lord brought about terrific forces of nature for Elijah to behold, the kinds of things that, well, that people readily identify with God, His power, His might. There was a wind so strong that it broke rocks in pieces. A severe earthquake jostled the whole land, and then a tremendous fire burned. But the Bible says the Lord was not in any of those things. He was not in that wind. He was not in the earthquake or the fire. No, the Lord was in the next thing that came, the sound of a low whisper. Then the Lord spoke to Elijah, and Elijah heard.
Is it significant that the Lord is speaking in this low whisper?
Now think of the letter to the Hebrews. It begins, long ago, in many times, in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but now, in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom He also created the world. That baby born at Bethlehem must have seemed like a low whisper. He grew up under poor, unremarkable conditions. He did become a man walking around Palestine, preaching, healing, doing good, but he still must have seemed so quiet compared to the great need the world has, the tremendous evil the world contains, and the towering guilt with which the world is saddled. And yet, Jesus of Nazareth, make no mistake, He was the voice. St. John, of course, called Him the Word. In Him, we have the Word from God that we need most of all, the Word of forgiveness that comes from His cross. "It is finished," he said on that cross, and it may have been little more than a whisper when he said it. But how true. After Jesus rose from the dead, he breathed on his disciples and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Now, it may be a comparatively quiet voice that speaks the word of Christ's forgiveness to us today, but that's the very word that we need to hear, and it's got all of God's saving power wrapped up in it.
What did God tell Elijah?
Well, quite to Elijah's surprise, Todd, the Lord said there were still 7,000 people in Israel who had neither bowed the knee to Baal nor, this was the word he used, kissed that idol. By God's grace and the power of the Holy Spirit, these 7,000 people had kept the faith. They were going to turn out to be very important in the long run. Now, God was instructing Elijah to do some anointing. He was going to anoint two kings and one prophet. The prophet was Elijah's own successor, Elisha. And between these three guys, they would shed a lot of blood in the not-so-distant future. But the big news here was not the bloodshed, nor was it the new prophet or even the new kings themselves, although the kings would have certainly gotten all the newspaper headlines if there had been newspapers right then at that time. But really, the big story from the God who kills to make alive came wrapped up in that group of 7,000. All of them had been going about their business very quietly, like a low whisper, you might say. They had heard the Lord's voice in his word, and his word did its work in them. Well, God's word works today too. Whenever people make the good confession, even under adversity, and sometimes especially when we do confess God's word under adversity, when the way before us seems difficult, even disgusting, we can be comforted in knowing that the Lord is at hand, right there in the midst of our difficulties. Like Elijah, we may not be especially fond of where we find ourselves, particularly after some outstandingly bitter experience, but never underestimate God's power. If we're driven back to his word and the comfort that it brings, then the bitterness becomes a blessing, even though that blessing may be kind of well disguised. So all in all, Todd, you never can go wrong clinging to the Lord and his word. Even if he does not seem to bring decisive victories in our experience, the fact remains, as Jesus himself said, he has overcome the world. So, as St. Paul put it, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. As with Elijah, so also for you and me, God isn't finished with us yet.
Give us your true and false review.
Okay. True or false? Queen Jezebel's death threat scared Elijah into running even out into the wilderness. False. She did threaten to kill Elijah. And Elijah did go even a day's journey out into the wilderness at first, but it doesn't seem to be mainly out of fear that he's doing this. He's bewildered, disillusioned, disappointed. True or false? Elijah ended up at Mount Horeb, not Mount Sinai. False. And that's just really the words involved. It's different words for the same mountain. Elijah did end up at Mount Horeb, which is to say Mount Sinai, the very mountain where God had revealed himself to Moses. And here again, we're coming up against the fact that Elijah is that hinge between Moses and Christ. In fact, Elijah is probably in the very same cave where Moses was for God's revelation to him like 600 years earlier. True or false? There on Mount Horeb, the Lord was not in a mighty wind or an earthquake or fire, but in the sound of a low whisper. True. Offhand, we might think that's false because a low whisper doesn't seem to go along with God's power and majesty, But remember Jesus, the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. When you see him, you see the Father. True or false? There were still 7,000 people in Israel who had neither bowed the knee to Baal nor kissed him. That's true. You don't find the Lord's flock by counting sheep, but by listening for the voice of the shepherd. And these faithful souls had been listening. Like Luther once said, God's word is never without God's people, and vice versa.
Tell us more about that connection between Elijah and Christ.
Well, Elijah may have thought that he was the only one left, and he did. But in fact, Jesus turned out to be the only one left. He remained the only one who had not gone over to the other side. Only he had not failed God or turned on God or rebelled against God or sinned against God even in the slightest. Jesus brought about salvation for the very people who had deserted him. Only he could bring about our salvation by keeping the law perfectly in our place, then dying under the guilt of our sin, and then rising from the dead to proclaim his victory. He was the only one who could do it, like I say. And he did it. So now our Lord Jesus brings his powerful message of forgiveness and life also to you and to me, Todd, right here, right now, no matter how disappointed or bewildered we may have grown. He comes to us as he spoke so long ago to that broken and burned out prophet Elijah.
Dr. Ken Sherb has a PhD in church history from Ohio State University. He's director of evangelism and missions, stewardship and human care for the Central Illinois District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, formerly served as a theology professor at Concordia University, Ann Arbor, Michigan, and as an assistant to the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of a series of sermons titled The Old Testament Collection, Preaching Christ in the Old Testament During the Church Year. Ken, thanks.
Always a pleasure, Todd.
Dr. Lucas Woodford will join us on the other side of the break. We're going to be talking with him about Christianity, critical theory, and the social justice movement. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. Thanks to our beloved on-demand listeners, Issues Etc. continues to rank among the top podcasts in Christianity. You can help us climb the charts by subscribing, rating, and reviewing Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit the subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will help make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc. Help us cast Christ's net on the internet. Subscribe, rate, and review Issues Etc. today.
One of the roles a pastor performs in a congregation is helping congregation members get through conflict and difficulty. But what happens in a congregation when maybe the pastor is part of the conflict? What do we do? How do we interact with our pastor in that circumstance? Well, the Reverend John Hill takes up this question in the June-July issue of the Lutheran Witness in his article, Peace in the Parish. To order your copy, visit cph.org/witness or visit the Lutheran Witness website, witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you look at the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR21. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Logia Journal, the Confessional Dogmatic Series. The works of Kurt Marquardt and many other resources are all brought to you by Luther Academy. Did you know that during this time of COVID-19, your purchases and donations help Luther Academy supply these same resources to pastors around the world? Please consider helping us with this important need through your prayers and financial support. Learn how you can help by visiting lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor: Bethlehem Lutheran, Sylvan Grove, Kansas; Faith Lutheran Church and Preschool, Marinette, Wisconsin; Holy Cross Lutheran, Albany, Oregon; Lutheran Church of Our Redeemer, Peekskill, New York; Mount Zion Lutheran, Castle Rock, Colorado; Prince of Peace Lutheran, San Diego, California; St. Athanasius Lutheran, Fairfax, Virginia; St. Paul Lutheran, Austin, Texas; Trinity Lutheran, Arapahoe, Nebraska; and Zion Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support, Donate, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.